This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
We share from Psalm 84, and I believe this is very much in line with what God has been saying this morning with the update that Paul's given us on the prayer walking. And remember, we're prayer walking around this area primarily as a response to the prophetic word that came a few months ago. I think it was through Debbie, that wherever you walk, it was from a vision. As we were walking, there were very quickly sprouting up green shoots of life. Yeah? And our response to that was to go and walk and to pray. And Paul talked this morning about spiritual warfare. And I think we need to understand, because I don't know how many of you have actually been out praying on the streets so far? Okay, I want to encourage everyone to get out there as often as possible. It is so easy to do. Like Paul says, find a friend, drop him a text or a call, say, where do we need to go and pray? Or even if you can't do that, just go and pray. And like we said, it doesn't matter if we double up. Double blessing is everyone's up for double blessing. But I don't know about you, but the times I've been out, which I guess is probably about half a dozen times now, we've prayed primarily, we've not been consciously naming and binding powers of darkness. We've been praying for the blessing of God to come. We've been praying for lives to be opened to the gospel. And we've been proclaiming good news to the people of those places. And spiritual warfare is as much about loosing as it is about binding. And in fact, loosing achieves binding as well. You know when Jesus sends out his 72 disciples? This is fantastic. I'm only 2 minutes in. I'm way off topic already. But Jesus sends out the 72. And he sends them and to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, and to cast out demons. So there was an element of the kind of that idea of casting out demons was, I guess you can see that as a binding. Although as far as the people that were demon-possessed were concerned, it was very much a loosing. It was very much a releasing from the oppression that the enemy had put on their life. But they came back rejoicing. They came back excited. They came back amazed, actually, that this gospel works. Isn't it great to know that Jesus doesn't get annoyed with you when you're surprised when the gospel works? He didn't slap them around and go, well, of course it works. But he said to them this. He said, in all of your loosing, I saw Satan fall. That in the loosing, there was also a binding. And when we talk of spiritual warfare, we're not talking about... I'm, to be perfectly honest, I'm not that interested in the demonic powers. Yeah, if they appear, I know I have authority over them. And if the Holy Spirit reveals that there's something that we need to come against in the name of Jesus, then of course we will do that. But the kingdom is a loosed kingdom, yeah? It's about bringing liberty. Just think of the words that Jesus used in Luke 4 to describe the good news. Yeah, release for prisoners, liberty for captives, sight for the blind. Good news for the poor. What's good news for the poor? You're not poor anymore. You that don't have enough now have more than enough. And so as we go around praying, I'm sure you'll find this as well, that you're led just to release and to loose the kingdom of God. And it really makes a difference. Of course, we're not just going to pray. There's lots of other things that are going to happen. We want to reach people. We actually want to talk to people. The guy's going out. I know yesterday, severe weather cancelled the outreach in Willen Hall. That's perfectly understandable. There's no point trying to go out and talk to people when they're all going to be hiding away from the rain. But we want, don't we, to more and more to see those opportunities to share the good news, to demonstrate the power of God, to bring release to captives, to see people give their lives to Jesus. And we're going to see that happen. And I know, because some of you have already begun talking, but there are many things that the Spirit is stirring on people's hearts to do, ways, initiatives of reaching the lost in that part of the city. And we're going to see a great increase in activity amongst us in that, I believe. So stir yourselves. Gird your loins like Elijah did. Do you know how to gird your loins? Basically, it was when they were wearing a cloak, they would kind of hitch it up under them so it was more like a pair of shorts. Get ready for action. It says in one of the epistles, you're told to gird the loins of your mind. Yeah? Change the way you think about things. It's a day for action. What's the other word that God brought us at the same time? I think it came through Pat about it's time to run together. I want to run with you. Okay? God wants us to run. You have to gird up your loins to run. Some of you are good at running. Others of us are better designed for walking. And I want to talk about walking this morning from Psalm 84. You know, walking can be just as tough as running. Can't it, boys, when you're trying to get up Scarfell Pike? Yeah, walking can be a tough call as well. But let's look at Psalm 84. I'm going to read the scripture and then just kind of share a few things from here. And then we're going to dip into the book of Isaiah as well. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And the early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The Lord God of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It's a wonderful psalm written by, it says here, the sons of Korah. They were a worship team, the sons of Korah. And they would have been ministering in the tabernacle or the temple, depending exactly which era this was written in. And this was their kind of meditation on how wonderful it was to be in the presence of God. And the worship teams in those days actually they had a rota system. Guys, we're so close to the Bible. It's unreal, isn't it? They had a rota system as to who would be ministering in the temple at what time. And I guess there's a contrast in here, isn't there, between the times when they're ministering and they're worshiping God and the times when they're not in the temple. And it begins with this, it's so much better to be worshiping God. Oh, to spend my whole life in the presence of God. In fact, I'd rather be close to the presence of God and be a doorkeeper than to never get into the presence of God. Now, of course, they lived in a different time. They lived in a different age. They lived under a different covenant. You and I are unable to escape the presence of God because he lives and he dwells within us. But still, we can have this same attitude, can't we? Oh, if all my life were like being at the best meeting I'd ever been to. Only if my whole life could have the same soundtrack of how it sounded this morning when just the band dropped down a bit and all those voices from the singers came through and I was convinced for a moment I was in heaven. And then they came back round the next time and the band really kicked in behind it and I thought I must now be in some kind of higher heaven. Oh, to always be here. And that's kind of how it starts, to make your home there. Some guy who wrote this line, this kind of here in verse 5, he must have been worshipping the Lord one day when he suddenly realized that there were birds that had made their home inside the temple or the tabernacle. The amazing thing is that God was fine with that. Fire didn't zip out from the ark and consume them. There wasn't suddenly roasted sparrow. And he realized, man, if God is happy for sparrows to be at home in his presence, how much more Does he delight when we make our home in his presence? Maybe this is what Jesus had in mind when he said, you know, sparrows are two a penny, but even if a sparrow dies, the Father knows such things. How much more does he care for you? This particular son of Korah probably had some kind of similar revelation as he's writing this. And verse 4, they say this, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. What a blessed life it must be to be in one continual worship time. But the psalm doesn't end there. And a lot of us, we would love it if life ended there. But if life ended there, if that was as far as we got, we would miss out on so much that God wants to do. We may have a lovely time, but we would be missing out on what God wants to do, because it immediately carries on and it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. There's a repetition there. It's supposed to get our attention to find out that sure, this is blessed. It's blessed to always be in the presence of God and worshiping him. But it's also blessed for those whose strength is in you and in whose hearts are the highways of Zion. Now that's a verse that's translated quite differently in some other translations. Who's got a very different translation of that verse? Verse 5, in whose hearts are the highways of Zion. Who's got a very different translation to that? What do you have, Jacqueline?
Men who've set their hearts on pilgrimage.
Who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Is that NIV?
Yeah.
So those are the two ways that the translations go. Some of them say, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. And some say, who have set their heart on pilgrimage. I like both of those ideas. Because he's actually talking about you and me. That you and me, because of the work that God has done within us, in your heart there's a highway. When you determine to be a pilgrim, when you determine to be a follower of Jesus, when you determine to be a walker, and runners really are just, you know, walkers showing off. I thought, I really enjoyed listening to Chris's sermon on the podcast, but I thought, well, if he's going to stand up for running, I'm going to have to stand up for walking. Just keep going. Just keep going. We're all going the same place. We're all going to get there. It's, you know when you go to the airport, and as soon as they announce that the gate's open, like 3/4 of the people who are sitting there all get up and try and rush to the front to get on. And I'm thinking, why go and stand in a queue for half an hour? We're all leaving at the same time. You know, you are not getting there any quicker by getting on the plane first. And so I like to stay there until there's no queue, and at that point I will get up and I will walk. And I think, thank you very much. I've spent extra time sitting down, less time queuing. We're all leaving on at the same. You know, this plane. We're all in this together. The important thing is you keep moving, folks. Whether you're going to run, whether you're going to walk. Because life with God has a forward momentum to it. And you know what? We're going somewhere. A pilgrim is someone that's going somewhere. In the Bible, there's two ways you can walk. You can either be a wanderer or you can be a pilgrim. Wanderers are not... It's not good to be a wanderer. I'm glad I've never been called by God to preach this sermon in Wolverhampton or... is it Bolton? They have wanderers as well, don't they? Bolton. And Wickham wanderers, yeah. I'll have to modify this if I ever get an invitation anywhere to those places. Cain was a wanderer. He wandered off. He wandered off to the land of Nod. Here's an interesting thing. The word Nod means the same in Hebrew as it does in English. It's entirely coincidental. They're not related, but for some reason, it's the same word. It means just to kind of, you know, wag your head from side to side. It means to be aimless. And Cain nodded off. I trust none of you nod off this morning. Not looking anywhere in particular. you may rest your eyes, but please don't nod off. Don't become aimless in life. Yeah, Cain was aimless. He went on an aimless wander, and he ended up in a whole land of aimless wandering. He landed off in the land of Nod. God doesn't want us to nod off. He wants us to be pilgrims. Cain wandered off to the east. It's a picture in Scripture of going away from God. When you come back to God, you come from the east like the wise men. Or when you came to the temple, and in fact, the pilgrimage, the journey that these guys who wrote this psalm would have had to have made every time they came back on duty would have required them to walk from the east and to walk westward to the temple, because that's the way the entrance was. And if you were coming in the morning and the sun was rising behind you and the gold plated temple was in front of you, you would see it looked like fire. And you were walking to the presence of God. Your destiny was the city of God, the place where God himself dwelt. But these pilgrims do not just have a destination. They themselves have the highway of God in their heart. And when you're walking through a world with the highway of God in your heart, when you're walking through the world as a pilgrim, you can go through the valley of Baca, which means the valley of weeping. And rather being overcome with weeping yourself, you will make it a place of springs. And you will provoke. This is the amazing thing. Valleys in the Bible are always places of trouble. Yeah, valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of Achor. Thousands upon thousands in the valley of decision. Valleys are always troublesome places. But here's the pilgrim, here's you, here's me. We go through the troublesome places of the world, and rather than being overwhelmed by the trouble, we bring transformation. We turn weeping into a place of refreshing. The early rain covers it with pools. You know, the only other place in Scripture where the similar language is used about the early rain is in the book of Joel, and it's the verses that immediately precede what Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost. Joel says this, "Be glad, O children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down on you abundant rain, the early rain and the latter rain as before." And if we're going to take Peter's interpretation of what the early rain is, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That when you walk through the troublesome places of this world, you provoke heaven to pour out the Holy Spirit. When we walk around the streets of Willenhall and Stoke Aldermore and Earnsford Grange and Whitley and Lower Stoke and Copswood and wherever else we get to praying, it's not just a declaration to those places, it's a provocation to heaven. And the early rains were the rains that came so that the ground was softened for the seed to be sown that would later become the harvest. The early rains, this is how it worked in those days. So the early rains would come in what we call autumn, September, October. You've just had the long hot summer. The ground is baked. It is hard. You cannot plow it. You cannot sow in it. The early rain comes and it softens the ground. And once the ground is softened, you can begin to sow seed. And then the rains continue and the seed grows until you come to the time of the latter rain. And the latter rain gives the final spurt of growth. And then around about March time, in the agricultural calendar of the Middle East, the harvest, the crop has reached its full height, and then the rain stops. The rain stops and the weather gets hot and the harvest ripens until the harvest is ready to be taken and brought in. And as we walk through the troubled places of this world, we provoke heaven to send the early rain of the Holy Spirit to prepare the ground for the good seed of the Word of God. Not just when we're prayer walking. I don't know. The keenies among you may spend an hour every week prayer walking. But what about the 167 other hours in the week? Most of that time you spend in the valley of trouble. You spend it in the valley of weeping. That's the world we live in. That's where you are. Think of your workplace. I know we like to be positive. We like to put a positive spin on things. But really, compared to the presence of God, which is where this psalm starts, they're troubled places. But you know, we don't get upset about the trouble because we know the very fact that I'm here, there's now a highway to the presence of God being built in this place. Every time I put one step in front of the other, the highway to Zion becomes a greater reality in that place. The road is made as I put one foot in front of the other, because this highway is a highway that's in my heart. This highway is a highway that is expressed in my life. And just by being here and being full of the Holy Spirit and being a follower of Jesus and being a prayer of faithful prayers, I'm provoking heaven to send the early rains that soften the ground for the seed to be sown. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. You know, your life is from strength to strength. From strength to strength. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Have you ever been out walking before the sunrise? Chris, have you ever been out running before the sunrise? I'm sure you have. I know in December, the kids actually get out of the house and start walking to school before sunrise. But it's lovely when you're out and the sun begins to rise over you and the day gets brighter and brighter. We love it when we go on holiday in the summer. This year, I think we've got to leave the house at 3 a.m. to catch our channel crossing. But the great thing is, you get out and it's dark, but as you get further and further down towards Folkestone, where we're going to catch the train, the sky begins to light up. And first of all, you get this beautiful shade of deep blue. And then gradually it turns and you get all the wonderful colours of the morning. That's your life. From strength to strength, brighter to brighter. The path of the righteous. I don't believe that's just the way you walk. That's the path that is created by your life. Your life is a path. Your life is a highway to Zion. Put one foot in front of the other. Walk in faith. Let your life be a provocation to heaven. It says, until each one appears before God in Zion. Some translations say, until God reveals himself in Zion. 1 John 3:2 says that we're the children of God now, but what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We know that we are becoming more and more like Jesus. We look more and more like Jesus. And we know the process that's already on. And it's one foot in front of the other. And the glory of God filling our lives, transforming our lives. We're revealing God to a world. Isaiah picks up this theme of the highway. We're going to look at three short passages from Isaiah. And I want us to see what it is that God wants to do. And Psalm 84, if you like, is the song of the highway. Because the writers here, they're captivated by how amazing the presence of God is. But then they're captivated by an even greater reality, which is that it's not just about me getting out of this world and into the presence of God, but it's about God getting his presence into this world through me. Both of them are blessed. Blessed, it says in what we read, blessed are those whose strength is in you. But in the Hebrew, it's actually in the singular. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. And the Hebrew word for man is Adam, and that's the word that's used there. Blessed is Adam whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. You see, what's happening here is that those people that are being talked about here, about you and about me, those who live a life in the Spirit, that mission that God gave to Adam has been restored. Wherever you go, bring transformation. Wherever you go, bring creation. Wherever you go, bring cultivation. Wherever you go, make places that are troublesome, peaceful and harmonious. Make places that are wild, brought under the control and the rule of God. Let places that are desolate be filled with life. That's the commission that we have in God. Isn't it an amazing one? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Pilgrims make the highway of God a reality in the world as they walk the world. The highway is created. Isaiah picks up the theme and he takes the image of the highways to Zion out of just our heart and into a kind of a global highway that leads to God and brings the kingdom of God into the world. And we're going to look at how this works. And you and I, you know, in the scripture it talks about there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And we know that there's one river of life, isn't there? But Jesus says that for each one of us, when we drink of the river of life, out of us flows streams of living water. And the same with the highway of God. There's one way, but actually there's a whole network of highways. And your life and my life is part of that network, and they all lead to God. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. And uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And first thing we find about this highway here is it's a highway for God. It's a way for the Lord. It's the way by which he will return. And in the times that Isaiah was speaking here, we're looking around about 500 BC or so. It was the time of the first great empires of the world. And these empires covered huge amounts of area. And often the ruler of that empire would just visit his realm once in his lifetime. And when he did that, they would create a new highway so that the king or the emperor could make his progress around his domain. And they would bring down mountains and they would fill in valleys to make a broad, level, smooth road. And that's the image that Isaiah is talking about here. He's saying to God's people, every valley will be lifted up, every mountain will be brought down, so that the highway of the Lord can come. Valleys, we've said, are places of trouble, but mountains are places of power and influence. And he's saying every power that stands against the kingdom of God will be brought down. Every valley that causes trouble in this world will be lifted up. God is making a smooth and level place. You know, some people talk about the Bible as being full of very primitive ideas and how the Bible talks about the world being flat. You know what? The Bible doesn't talk about the world being flat until the very end. The Bible, all the way through the Bible, when you get hints at it, it's quite clear that the people understood they were on a sphere and that they understood that the sun was going round and exactly how, whether, you know, which way round it was going. They perhaps didn't know, but there's no flat earth in the Bible until you get right to the very end, when heaven that's up there and earth that's down here have met together. And of course it's just a picture. Eternity is not going to be spent on a two-dimensional plane. We're not going to flat world. But the picture is this, that whatever has elevated itself against God has been brought down. Whatever depths people have sunk to, they're going to be raised up. And we're all going to be in a broad and level place. And that's the highway. That's the highway of your life. You know, having the highway of God in your heart means that the low places, God is committed to raising you up from them. And those high places, those influences and those powers that seem to work against you, he's bringing them down. Your life is going to be a smooth and level place. In fact, compared to what it was before you knew Christ, it already is. Yeah? But the highway to God is being formed. And it's, first of all, it's a way for him to come. It's the highway of God. Turn over a few pages to Isaiah 49. I'm going to read verses 8 to 12. Thus says the Lord, in the time of favor I have answered you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, On all bare heights shall be their pasture, and they shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and the west, and these from the land of Syene. We read here, not just about the highway, but the highways. Did you know that the Bible teaches there are many ways to God? We all kind of get defensive on that. We're thinking, oh, no, 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 come on, get your apologetics right. Not all roads lead to God. Well, I didn't say all roads lead to God, but the Bible does teach us there are many roads to God. All of them go to Jesus first. But once that road gets to Jesus, it breaks out. It breaks out through your life and my life. It forms this network of ways to come to God. No one comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And one of the earliest names that Jesus' followers were given were followers of the way. That's what the gospel was known as, the way. Why? Because their lives showed that they were those who were going the way that Jesus had made. And when you and I live the life of Jesus in this world, our lives create many roads to God. As we lead people to Jesus, who is the one true way. And what's happening is that the lost are being brought from afar. The lost are being brought from the north, south, east, and west. And one of the things I love about this passage is that the highway seems to have the same characteristics as the destination. You don't have to wait to get there before you enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait until you get to the house of God until you can live like you're living in the house of God. That's why Psalm 84 says it's blessed if you're in the house of God ever singing the praises, but it's also blessed if you're down in the valley of weeping. Why? Because wherever you go, the kingdom is with you. The kingdom has come. I live in the kingdom. Every quality. What does Ephesians say? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've already got all that heaven has for you. Yeah? I'm sure we don't live in the good of it all yet, but it's ours. And it says, on the bare heights will become pasture. Well, let me talk a little bit about my walking exploits. One of the interesting things as we began, we actually didn't get up Scafell Pike, did we, boys, unfortunately. We did climb Bowfell, which is apparently the ninth highest mountain in England. When you think about it, that's not much, really, is it? But there we go. The ninth highest mountain in a country that doesn't really have any mountains. We were slightly misled by the information on the Scafell Pike website, which said that if we took the route we took, up Scafell Pike and back down again should take us about 6 hours. Well, to walk where we walked took us 10 hours? 8 hours. 8 hours. And we reckon it would have been another 3 or 4 if we'd have gone all the way up Scafell Pike. We almost got the height, but we had to come back down and go up again. We thought, we'll come back another time and take a more direct route. But you begin down in the valley. The valleys in the Lake District are beautiful. The dry stone walls, there were little baby sheep everywhere, little lambs everywhere, bouncing around the fields in these beautiful green valleys and these green fields. And as you begin to climb up the hill, you come out of the green and you kind of come into the brown and the grey, because there's no longer any pasture there. What does grow there is very rough and tough, and isn't no animal's going to want to eat it, although there were the few sheep coming up, weren't there? And you get above a certain line and it all just becomes rock, and there's no resource there at all. But what does it say here? That when God builds his highway across the mountains, he makes it a place of pasture. He makes it a place of provision. You know, the highway of your life is a place of provision. It's a place of nutrition and refreshing and life for the world around you. Because his highways in your heart, you become the resources of heaven to those around you and to those that you're inviting to walk the same way. The characteristics of this highway are provision, security, liberty, inheritance, guidance, refreshing. Turn over a few more pages with me to Isaiah 62. This is where we're going to finish. We're going to read from verse 10 to 12. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. This highway, it's a way for God. This highway shows that there are many ways to God through the lives of his people. But this highway is also a way for the people. It's for God to come, but before he returns, it's for many to find their way to him. And building this highway, highway builders gain a reputation here. It gives us a reputation of those who are restorers, those who are rebuilders. We're commissioned to go and build this highway, which is a way of making connections between the lost of this world and the loving Father who sent his Son to rescue them. Of the desolation of valleys of trouble, to connect them with the life of God. This is no quiet back road. It's a well-signed multi-lane, high-speed highway, reaching from the courts of God to the ends of the earth. Those that build the highway will be called holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, sought out, a city not forsaken. Just a few chapters back, in fact, between the last two passages that we've read, in Isaiah 58 is the great passage where it talks about the restorers. It says in verse 12 of Isaiah 58, your ancient ruins should be rebuilt. You shall raise the foundation of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And I don't know whether there's anyone reading from the Message this morning. If you're reading from the Message this morning, that verse, Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, you will be known as those who can fix anything. This morning we couldn't get the computer to talk to the projector. And I turned to my kids and I said, is Simon Dean here? And they said, no, but we know he's on his way. We thought, fantastic, because we know someone who can fix anything. We're blessed with many of them in this church, because if it was something to do with a computer, I'd call Simon. If it was something to do with anything kind of physical that needed fixing around my house, I would call, who would I call? Who do you think? Dave Lees. That's right. Dave Lees is Isaiah 58, 12. He is a man who can fix anything. And then, of course, at the back here, we've got Mr. Dave Palmer. We're so blessed with these. I quoted this scripture when I was in Oldham last week. And I said to the people in the church, I said, you know, there's this verse. It says, you be called those who mix anything. So let me do a little experiment. I find this true to be everywhere I go, that every church has somebody who's known as the man who can fix anything. Who would it be in this church? And they all immediately laughed and went, Steve, and pointed to this guy at the back of the room. Everyone wants to know someone that can fix anything. But you know, that's who we are. That's what the world will say of us. When the world gets to know you, they're going to call you Jean-Yves. They're going to say Jean-Yves. They could say lots of wonderful things about Jean-Yves. But as they get to know him, because of the life of God that's in him, because of the highway and the way to the presence of God that is created by his life, they're going to say, he's the guy that can fix anything. They're going to look at Lloyd and say, he can fix anything. Not just engineering things. Anything. They're going to look at Sarah and say, you know what? I don't know whether she has any experience of this problem I'm having right now, but I'm convinced that she can fix anything. Why? Because that's what the reputation that the life of God within us gains us. And these highway builders are given these names. Because you know what? You've probably experienced this. But people have probably come to you for help, whether they're Christians or not. People outside of the church. People that don't know Jesus. And they come and ask you for help. And your first and your natural reaction is, I have no idea. Anyone ever been asked for help and you think, I have no idea? Yeah, okay. Now, if it's DIY, I would say, I have no idea. Although I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, I've yet to fully appropriate that into the world of power tools. But you know, sometimes people come and you think, actually, not because of my experience, not because of my human understanding, but because of the Spirit of God. Because of the one who teaches me all things. Because of the Spirit of discernment and understanding that rests upon me. I believe I can be God's answer. I believe I can be God's highway. I believe that my life can lead you to Jesus, where you can find everything you need. That's the highway he's building through your life. That's what it means to be a pilgrim. We're not wanderers. We're not aimless. We know where we're going, but we also know that in the going, we're making a path. We're making a highway. I nearly said a pieway. What a wonderful place that would be. And you know what? Whenever we come into the presence of God, I think there's a point, going back to Psalm 84, where there's a transition from, is it verse 4 to verse 5 or verse 3 to 4? Verse 4 to 5, I think. When there's a realization for us that blessed are those who dwell in his house, ever singing your praise, but also blessed are those whose strength is in you and in whose heart is the highway to Zion. And I would like to suggest that we're really not worshipping in spirit and in truth. We're really not worshipping in the way we were designed to worship if our worship is an escape from the world. Because if we encounter God, we encounter the God that says, just as much as you are home in my presence, I call you to go out as pilgrims in this world and to create a highway for me to come, for to connect me with a lost and dying world and to bring them from afar into my presence. As a church, we're at a place in what God is doing amongst us where we're realizing and beginning to work towards the kind of the geographical outworking of that, if you like. But you know what? That a geographical move will make no difference if we don't begin to see ourselves differently. If we don't begin to appreciate that actually my life is a way to the living God. That my presence is a provocation to heaven to send the early rain. That my prayers make a difference. That God, the Holy Spirit, is itching to heal the sick through my hands. That the Holy Spirit is groaning within you with labor pains because he wants to use you to bring new birth, to see men and women born again. That's you. It's not someone else in this room. And it's certainly not someone else who isn't here. Oh God, send us, send us. And Jesus says, you know, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers. Now go. Yeah? It's not someone else. It's not someone else that's going to. It's you and me that are going to do this. Why? Because this is who he's called us to be. And whenever we come and worship, I think we hear this compulsion from the Holy Spirit. Go, go, go. Take all that I've invested in you. Go and bring transformation to this world. Go and bring healing to this world. It's what it is to be a pilgrim. It's to hear the voice of God say, now get out of here and go and make a way for the world to find me. That's our commission. That's our call. And I believe we're going to do it. I believe we're going to achieve what God has called us to do. Yes. Christ in you, says Colossians, the hope of glory. Yes. Not just the hope of your glory, the hope of this world. Yes. Because Paul tells us that the whole of the earth, the whole of creation is standing on tiptoe, looking for the sons of God to be revealed. The substance of creation understands that God's purpose is going to be achieved through you and me. The many lost who don't know Jesus yet, they probably don't know that, but they're going to come to an awareness of that. And I want to challenge you to raise your faith, to raise your expectation, to redouble your efforts in prayer, and to go to God and say, God, give me faith to believe big. Give me the boldness to act big. Yeah? To say, no longer am I going to say this is for a future time or for someone else. But Lord, I really believe that this is your purpose for my life. Not in some theoretical, hypothetical, theological, by and by never become a reality way, but in the here and now. Flesh and bone, one foot in front of the other, seeing the purposes of God done, seeing the glory of God come, seeing the lost saved, seeing the sick healed. Amen. If you're with me, will you stand up? We're going to pray. Lord, we stand in awe before you that you would have such high expectations of us. That you would deem us worthy to be part of your plan to bring your glory and the knowledge of Jesus into this world, to save the lost, to transform our world, to bring life, to bring healing, to bring righteousness, peace, and joy. And Lord, with great humility, but Lord, also with courage and conviction, right now, Lord, we say amen. To your word, we hear afresh a commission to go and bring the highway of Zion down every street we walk, into every office and every classroom we go into, every shop, every canteen, every restaurant, every pub, every club, every meeting place, every home. Lord, that where we go, a way will be found. A way will be made for the ends of the earth to come to you. Lord, I pray right now a fresh anointing of faith and boldness upon each and every one here. Lord, that our lives will be the way for many, many to come to know you. Lord, we speak salvation over our city. Yes. We speak salvation over Earnsford Grange and Willenhall and Whitley and Stoke Aldermore and Copswood and Lower Stoke to Binley. We speak salvation. We say to them, behold, your Lord is coming. We say that the glory of the Lord is going to be seen. And we say sons and daughters are returning from afar. The lost are discovering their heavenly Father. Lives are being transformed. Salvation is coming. New birth is coming. In the name of Jesus. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Because he has anointed us. And Lord, we say we will go. We will go in your power. Knowing that we are going with you. Knowing that you are making a way even as we are walking away. Lord, it's our desire. Lord, it's more than our desire. It's our aim. It's our one thing in life. To see your glory fill this earth. To see your glory invade lives and homes. To see your power at work. To see your kingdom come, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.